couple of announcements. One is that the new chairman of the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee is Wayne France, but he couldn't be here tonight. And I'm not kidding you when I say that when I asked the commissioner who he'd like to chair the meeting, he said, well, it's been kind of an informal thing. Just see if someone wants to chair the meeting. Now, if you would really like to chair the meeting, let me know. Otherwise, I'll come up there and chair the meeting and just direct the flow of the conversation. So unless someone's burning to do that, I'll be up there in a minute. And the other situation is we've had two members who have stepped down. Roy Inslee stepped down from the committee, and Jeffrey Hammer. And then tonight there's one person who said they wouldn't be here at all, right?
That was just Don Porter will probably be calling in.
Richard Harding's not going to be here?
Richard Harding, his daughter's got a swim meet that he couldn't miss tonight.
Okay. So those are the announcements. Andrew's going to do most of the work, and I'll come up and enjoy.
Also, I'd like to introduce Jackie Shannon, the folks here. She's the newest member of the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee. Is that Dan there?
That's me. Hi, Dan.
Good, good.
How are you?
Nice to see you. Also, there's a documentary filmmaker coming this evening. I don't think she's here yet, but... there she is. if you don't want to be on film, let her know so she can sort of direct the camera, not at you there. And her contact information is there on those handouts right there. So the main agenda items today are, the 2017-2018 public oyster season. And then at the end of the meeting, if time allows, I'll be giving a brief update on the submerged aquatic vegetation subcommittee meeting that some of the SMAC members attended last Wednesday. And this was just a meeting that we'll all get into that later, just provide the guidance for the commission on SAV and oyster ground leases. But with that, we'll sort of get right into this. And what I'd like to do is sort of go through the stock assessment portion of this presentation and then sort of give you a little background information on what we're sort of basing these decisions on there, and again get into the actual establishing of the harvest season and sort of run through a couple different options there, have you guys sort of discuss it, and then allow for some public comment if necessary there, or if desired, and then sort of have a discussion going from there. So we'll start with sort of, I wouldn't call it bad news or good news, sort of anticipated. It looks like the public fishery last year there was a minor drop in the harvest numbers. Looks like maybe about 9% or so, about roughly 20,000 bushels or so off of public, a little higher in the 2015-2016 season and this last season. It was just came down a little bit. It was sort of anticipated in our stock assessments. The good news is that our stock assessments for this upcoming season show sort of an improvement, and I'll sort of go over the standing stocks in the major river systems, and we'll go from here. So as you can see, in the James River here, it looks pretty good this year. Sort of the important thing for the harvest season in these areas is that red line there at the top. This is the number of market oysters. And as you can see, that blue is a number of small. So it's not really a giant jump up in terms of the actual numbers. It sort of depends on how many of those small oysters make it to market size between fall 2016 and this upcoming harvest season there. But in general, it's headed in the right direction there in the James. This is sort of the long-term standing stock, and you can see there's some ups and downs and dips. But in general, headed in the right direction there in terms of market and small oysters. Area 1 on the York is the area that's planned to be opened this year. You can see sort of the scale is a little different there on the James, just to sort of point that out. These are our bushel estimates there. And Area 1 there on the left is the area that's scheduled to be open. And it's going to be probably a little better than Area 2 was this year. But still, that same number there is that red bar on the top sort of shows you the market number of oysters, Aaron. It's the same story there. The number of small oysters that sort of reach that 3-inch size might change that slightly, but you know, it's not too bad there. Tangier and Pocomoke, the area that's scheduled to be open this year is Area 1. again, the stock assessment, notice the scale there on the side. This is based on the bushels. And it looks like, you know, there was a little bit of an increase there between last year's stock assessment, 2015, and this year's. But still keep in mind that red bar there is the harvest oysters that are going to be available. And that blue number there is a little higher than it has been, but part of those numbers are a little bit skewed based on two oyster bars that were particularly high in the small category last year. That was Bird and Marshall's Rock, where you may recall the replenishment program moved the best part of the rock up, or the sunk part of the rock that had been covered over up the higher part of the rock, and that sort of increased that number a little bit. But in general, it's okay in this area of the Tangier and the Pocomoke. Not quite as good, but these numbers are sort of rolled together there. This is Area 2 that we had just worked, and the numbers there are a little lower, but still keep in mind that red bar is what we're working with. Sort of the key, as many of you know, to the replenishment program is sort of keeping that colch per square meter number up above 5 liters per square meter. And, you know, we sort of dipped down there a little bit there in that 2014-2015 season, but we're sort of back in that target range. So if we do get a good fat set this year, which we'll see in the fall survey, we're sort of set up for success there in terms of the shell that we put over the board the last several years in this area. But as is the case in many circumstances, we're sort of dependent on this fat set there in the Pocomoke and Tangier that hasn't been as good as it has been in the rest of the areas throughout the bay. If you're interested, these are the sort of the numbers that we used for 2016 to come up with that number. And keep in mind that the markets are what's going to be harvested there, and this colch number is, it gets worrisome for us on our replenishment side when it's getting below that sort of 5 is sort of the magic number where you get a good spat set consistently. And there's a couple spots in Area 1 that aren't meeting that as of last October, and a number of other spots in Area 2. That still aren't meeting that number. Deep rock for the Patentong area, that's looking pretty good. Keep in mind that this scale isn't always the same on every area, but basically the proportion of red to blue, the higher the red, the more markets. So that's looking healthy and stable this year as well. This is the same, the hard numbers for that data is based on for the 2016 year there. You can see that those colch numbers are pretty good. We did a fair amount of shell there, not a ton this year, but enough to sort of make sure that all these numbers are going to be up over that 5 target range. And you can see the number of markets per square meter there, 4, 7, 3, 5, almost 6 again. Those are good numbers for making patentongs work in those areas. The mobjack is normally part of the York River rotation. You may recall that we had left that out of the rotation, except for half of it. We had opened Pulse Bar or Toast Ache 1 year and not Pulse Bar due to the heavy spat set we got on Pulse. We can talk about that area a little bit. That might come up as a potential to have that area that we skipped in that rotation opened up as part of this season. Rappahannock River Area 1, which is scheduled on the rotation to open up this year, is looking pretty good there as well. You can see that there was a good bump in the number of smalls in the 2015, and that that number of market oysters there for 2016 looks like it's increased due to that good crop of smalls we had there in 2015. Area 6 is similar. It's a little Not quite as good as Area 1 in terms of the number there, but you can see that red bar that shows the number of markets per square meter is pretty thick there, so that area should be a good producer this year as well. This is the standing stock table that we're basing this on with the colch amounts, and you can see they're in that targeted 5 to 10 range in most of the areas that are scheduled to open up, most of the bars there. I have handouts of this if you
need them. Okay. Yep. You consider that 5 liters per cubic meter the maximum capability?
That's sort of the target range that
I understand that. But do you think that's the maximum utilization of that meter, having 5 liters per per cubic meter?
We've found that if it isn't at that level...
No, that's not what I'm asking.
Right.
What would be the maximum productive capability of that cubic meter? Is it 5 liters?
Oh, no. I mean, no. Like in areas, in very productive areas, it could be upwards of, 20.
Okay, that's
just the amount of brown
shell. Well, that's just what I was wondering. It just seems to me that, I understand you think it's acceptable, but it seems like to me for that to be maximum, to get
that's the
maximum
minimum.
Production.
That's the minimum that you'd see any production is if you keep it at that level.
But
that you're
if there was plenty of money coming to you and you could plan all you'd want to have 20 liters per cubic meter. Is that right?
Well, this volume includes the amount of living oysters there and the shell there. But basically, if you can keep it in that 5 to 10 range, then you'll continuously get a spat set there if there are spat around. But once it dips below that level, you sort of see a decline in the number of spat and a decline in productivity. So we can maintain productive ground at 5 liters per square meter, but you don't really get much production out of that ground if it's consistently below that.
If you do the math, 10 liters per square meter, that's 6.
Yeah, that's mighty thin.
Laying oysters as piles, 1/6. Any number above 10, typically, you've got some definite. Any number below that, you've got open space.
So I think what is interesting is if you, at some point, tell everyone how many acres that are going to be planted compared to how many acres that could be planted, so that, that should be a continuing story here that, from 2007 until now, things have changed as far as the, the value of the dollar and everything else. And part of the reason that we really, even with a lot of money, don't know how much we could afford. We definitely know with the $2 million exactly what we can afford. So it's somewhere in the 40% to 42% of the areas that we could refurbish. Not all those areas are going to be equal, but we're certainly not planning everywhere we can. And what we're going to do here, let Andrew finish. When Andrew finishes, we're going to have questions about the presentation, just questions. And then I'll go to the audience for a few questions as well. Then we'll come back and you'll have your comments and your advice, anything you want to do there. And when it seems as if the committee has come to some sort of decision or a couple of decisions, then we'll invite the audience to have a few comments as well. So we really do want to sort of streamline this. We want everyone to be able to go home at 6 o'clock. And so that's the plan. So go ahead, Andrew.
All right. And just as Rob mentioned there, this year we did replenishment work on a little over 700 acres. That includes all the fossil shell, house shell, the seed program we ran there. And there's about 500 acres that needs it that didn't get it this year. And we were able to sort of stretch that a little bit in areas, but, roughly half of what the areas that needed shell got shell this year, but we did a little bit better than that this year. We got the program got a little bit more done this year with what we had than we had done in previous years there. But
thanks, Andrew.
This is a great Wicomico standing stock that I talked about there in terms of, and right now this table is actually broken up into two different areas. Right now there isn't a rotation in Great Wicomico. And that number that we had kicked around a little bit there, the 5 liters, there's sort of been our Patentong survey and sort of anecdotally from a number of harvesters, this is one of the areas that isn't in a rotation and is sort of continuously getting worked. And there are some areas, particularly Mill Creek there, you can see that colts per square meter is less than 1. Which means there's still a few oysters around out there. I mean, half an oyster per square meter, you can still catch those with a hand scrape, but there's not a lot of shell there. That bar is sort of not doing well. There's still some large oysters around, but not a whole lot. The same thing with a couple of other bars there. You can see that Fleeton there is at 3 liters per cubic meter there, and that's sort of getting down to where we'd like to do something with it, but just keep those numbers in mind that some of these areas are getting below that target, and we don't have the shell resources to put shell everywhere that it needs. This is what I discussed before about Mobjack, and you can see that This last year we had took it out of the rotation except for took Pulse Bar out of the rotation, and Toasteak had been opened. And you can see this is sort of the before and after harvest numbers. And Pulse Bar had that extremely high fat set, you know, over 500 per square meter, and a fairly large number of smalls per square meter. And this is last spring's information, so a lot of these spat hopefully will be small this year, and a number of the smalls should have come up to market. It's a relatively small area, but it sort of got skipped in the rotation, in the York mobjack rotation, so there's potential to go back to that area this year. This is sort of what I was talking about in general, three different areas there in terms of the impact that harvest has on just the shell volume there, and that includes taking the live oysters off the ground, but you can see that this is sort of averages for the whole areas, that in areas like the Mobjack and Great Wicomico, and all of the areas, that once you start getting below that 4 liters per square meter, that's when we'd like to replenish them. And, you know, if you don't keep them there, you lose production. And some areas have held up okay. This is just one particular area. But some areas are getting sort of close to that borderline where you start losing productivity. So that's just sort of to emphasize that point that, you know, once you get below that level, if you don't put something back, you start to lose production there. This is an interesting graphic here that it shows the harvest information is this blue line at the top, the number of bushels, and this is the gear type broken down. You can sort of see the transition in gear types since 82, which is sort of the modern era, if you want. You can kind of consider 2000s different, but you can see that there used to be majority of the gear was hand tongs, patent tongs, and then the dredge gear had always sort of just been in the Tangier Pocomoke area. You can see the harvest numbers there were higher than they are now, without the hand scrape there in the fishery. This is all coming off a limited number of patent tong areas, hand tong areas, and the dredge fishery. And then everyone here is well aware of what the 90s was like, and you can sort of see this is where the current sort of modern day starts with the introduction of the hand scrape and sort of the gradual comeback of the industries. And you track the number of bushels harvested there, getting up to sort of respectable numbers. At the same time, you see that the number of people in the dredge fishery is increasing, and there's sort of a very high increase in the number in the hand scrape fishery there. And this year's numbers for both are sort of shown right here. They're about the same, about 900, give or take 20 or so individuals, sort of the last 3 or 4 years have stayed in the scrape fishery in terms of buying that gear, as well as you know, a little over 300 have bought the gear license for the dredge fishery. And you can see we took a little dip, and this is just public landing numbers here, not private included. A little dip last year and a little bit more of a dip here, but not drastic. I mean, we're still up, you know, in reasonable areas compared to where we had been, you know, just a few years ago. With that in mind, I'm going to go into, you know, the actual season, proposed seasons. I have sort of three different ones that I'm going to go through. The first one is this would be what the season would look like if we just stuck with the normal rotations, didn't make any changes, and I'll sort of go through, there's benefits to this and there's some downsides to this, and there's some issues that have been brought up by a number of people, mainly October having just one hand scrape area and overcrowding that's been a problem, that's been brought up by a number of individuals, and the fact that it concentrates so many people just on one area. And sort of my goal is to basically have smack input on October and the rest of the season, November, December, and January. Working within these parameters is a little more flexible, but basically I'd like your input to help make a decision that's as fair and balanced as we can be while addressing the main concern of having so many boats in one area in October.
Andrew, so, did you say you have handouts?
Yeah.
That might help on some of this information.
See.
Great.
Although my eyeballs are getting bad.
Yeah.
I've got one. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can see the other side. More down. Okay. Thank you, Andy.
Oh, boy, this makes it nice. Oh. That looks much better.
Okay, there we go. All right. So this would be that if we didn't make any adjustments at all, just stuck with the normal rotations that we currently are working with, this is what the season would be for next year. If we stuck with the normal rotations, had just the one area open, area one there in the lower Rappahannock, this would be in line with the last sort of 3 or 4 years that have been sort of generally the oyster industry headed in the right direction on that in terms of harvest numbers. The participation will be similar. So this would be sort of a similar season to what we've had with the same issue of lots of people in the Rappahannock in October. That's the main thing I'd like to address. And there's ways of doing that, and we've discussed some of them at the last SMAC meeting and sort of have talked about other areas of, I don't really call it effort control. I would just sort of say we're done with effort control debate in terms of limiting the number of people in the fisheries, just sort of working with what we've established to alleviate concerns of industry harvesters and the actual oyster resource, just having that many boats on top of it. And this would be, if we didn't make any changes, this is sort of what the season would look like. One way of addressing the concerns there, mainly having just one area open and having the fleet split up in October and throughout the rest of the season, so people are working in multiple areas at once, would be to delay the opening of hand scrape until November. You can see in this version that in October you have the pretty much everything standard. That area at Mobjack Poults would be open to hand tong in October. There's a lot of oysters there. I'd like to give people a chance to hand tong oysters. I know there's reasons for not. The commercial fishery is not, you know, everyone likes to hand scrape for a number of reasons. There's an aging waterman community that wouldn't be able to, you know, work hand tongs as heavily as the need might be there. But there are a number of individuals who do hand tong, and that would provide a lot of Virginia oysters coming in the month of October. The numbers, if you look back there for Area 1 on the Rappahannock, are very high. I mean, the sort of average per square meter is up over 5, and generally patent tong areas, it's sort of 5 to 10 market oysters per square meter. You can catch your limit per boat patent tonging there in Area 1. I realize there that showing the hand tongs in Area 6 and 7, most of that area is deep. There might be some areas where at low tide, some of the lumps there, you might be able to work a set of tongs on them in some of those areas. Additionally, you know, this was what the fishery looked like back in the 1980s when we were catching more bushels than we are now, would be what it looks like in October. I mean, the fishery, there was more oysters everywhere. It was wide open. You could work public ground. There are more people participating in it. But sort of the seasons were hand tongs and patent tongs with a later opening for dredge season in the Potomac. And this isn't, you know, set in stone in this area. It's just one idea that if you look in November, the James comes on, Area 1 goes back to hand scrape, Great Wicomico would open up. So you'd have three areas opening up simultaneously in the month of November there. That covers you for your Thanksgiving season, gets you well into December. It coincides with when power dredging comes on in Maryland. I know that's sort of a concern, losing market share to Maryland buyers if they open up, but this would keep us in line with their season when their power dredging comes on. And it allows for someone to rig up for patent tonging in October. If you allow patent tongs there in Area 6, they could stay rigged up and then roll right into working in December and January in sort of the traditional deep rock patent tongs areas. So the idea would be that group of individuals would stay out of the scrape fishery, sort of further limiting the number of boats participating in that. And I know there's been some concerns that a lot of people are looking forward to hand scrape opening up in October. A lot of the smaller boats are not going to be able to rig up for patent tong. A lot of the boats on the eastern shore have stump rigs, and they're not going to potentially want to make the investment to get a mast and boom to go patent tonging. But sort of doing something in October, I mean, it's not the best, but the crab fishery will still be open. There's a limited number of individuals who still be participating in the fishery there. And there are other options other than oysters in October for the traditional full-time waterman who's working in multiple fisheries there. Whereas if, you know, the oysters are falling off there in December and January, oysters are sort of it. So it's sort of one way of addressing that concern is sort of moving the oyster season, the majority of it, back a little bit, still having oysters coming onto the market in November, and allowing folks to stay out of the hand scrape fishery by sticking with patent tongs if they already have the gear or if they're willing to make the investment to sort of to do that. So it's a way of addressing those concerns of overcrowding without having to make anyone leave the fishery, decrease bushel limits, and sort of addresses that concern from splitting the fleet there. There are other ways that you could, you know, alleviate that, and we've talked about, you know, before in the past there's been a four-day work week there in the month of October, and this, I don't think there necessarily have to be. You know, I think I'd be all right working the full 5 days a week here, even if we went this route. The other option has been discussed, instead of having a four-day work week, is there's been a number of watermen, number of industry folks, and a number of full-time folks who have expressed interest in potentially 16 bushels per boat, at least in the beginning of the season and potentially throughout the season, so you prevent that sort of third person and that temptation to sort of stay on the rock and grind and grind and grind until you got close to your 24 bushel limit. And potentially the last two bushels might not be the best two bushels coming across. I mean, there's plenty of boats out there who catch 24 good clean bushels, and there's some boats anecdotally that might not be doing that, but sort of having a 16 bushel limit might help alleviate that concern. That was sort of the idea for the patent tong season there. An alternative to that is what I'm calling the scrape season here, and this would split the James into two rotation areas. They'd both be open this year, they'd just sort of be staggered. So as you can see there, the month of October, hand scrape would come on in the James, hand scrape in area one. So right there, most of the folks coming from the shore, I'd imagine, would stay in the James, and most of the people up there would stay in the Rappahannock. There have been some current concerns that might damage the James River. I think it'll be all right. It can hold up, especially if you're splitting the fleet like that. It sort of stretches that season out a little bit. We could shift it around, but you'd have at least two areas opened up there. November, the same thing. Area 2 would stay open in the James. Area 1 would stay open. I'd like to have the potential for a patent tong area in Area 6 so that, you know, that would take that effort out of the hand scrape fishery, and that would give folks who are rigged up for patent tong the ability to sort of stay out of the scrape fishery potentially if they're doing something else there in October and get started on patent tonging right away. Same thing followed, if Area 6 was open up to patent tongs, it would be followed by 2 months, sort of the standard amount for hand scrape there in Area 6. And then everything else would more or less stay the same there. The Great Wicomico, it's a relatively small area, but I'd like to divide that area into two rotation areas. I'll show you a map there in a minute. Area 1 would be sort of the upper portion of the hand scrape area. And sort of below Fleet Point there would be the second area. And I think the lower area would be closed this year, potentially. That area is sort of in the worst shape, I guess. And on the map that you have there, I have Blackberry Hangs included in there. But I think that hand scrape area would sort of stay out of the rotation in this area. It sort of limited the number of people who can work there. It's sort of a unique area in terms of the bottom type. They call it Blackberry Hangs for a reason, so I don't think, and it's, you know, it's a good hard bottom, and it seems to be holding up pretty well right there. So I'd leave that sort of open in the traditional sense of not having a rotation there yet. And then everything else would sort of stay the same. And this is the lower James proposed rotation area. It basically sort of splits right down the middle, area 1 on one side and area 2 on the other side. And this was done based on sort of acreage calculations, and it comes out pretty close that the same number of acres are open, and sort of the production should be similar off Area 1 and 2 in this area there. Like I said, this line that you're seeing there, that wouldn't include Blackberry Hangs. It would just be Area 1 up here, Area 2, and Blackberry Hangs would stay open this year. This is the rotation area, Area 1 would be open this year. Dan listening there, and those guys out of Tangiers, Johnson's looks particularly good this year. The other areas, you know, are sort of as they have been. There might be a little uptick. There was a little higher spat set in 2015 in the Tangier Sound and the Pocomoke. It's sort of the same story there, that we haven't seen much spat set there. This year, we do have BIMS and VMRC put out some shell strings this year, so we're seeing what's happening in Area 9 and 10 and Area 13 or Shell Rock there, that area, to sort of get an idea of what's going on there in terms of the spat set, and see if we can, you know, make plans from, if there isn't a spat set, that might help us figure out what's going on, and if there is, we can address, you know, what the concerns are there, and hopefully it shows up. We have a lot of shell in the bottom right there, so it's promising to see what's going on there, but we'll have that information sort of here in October, but that area wouldn't be scheduled to be open up this year anyway. Area 1 there in the Rappahannock and Area 6 there in the Rappahannock would be on the rotation. And like I said, Area 1, the upper area of the York River, would be coming into rotation this year. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Andrew. Anyone have any questions on any of the information so far? I realize that the three options are going to present the real talking points here, but maybe you had some questions about the data, the harvest data, anything that Andrew presented.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy.
Currently, the James River, the James River area, the hand scrape area, that opens up all at the same time.
Right. That would normally that would be open all at the same time. Both areas from November through January has been sort of the traditional hand scrape season. Hand tongs or clean culls go from October through April, with seed oysters only there in May.
So one of the guys that I know that works in the James, the concern he had about that was right now everybody's spread all over the place and it's working fine, doing well. But by doing that, you're going to bunch them up and you're going to cause more crowding. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't do it. That's just something I heard from a guy that works in the James. So.
Well, I would hope having a... I guess there are other areas open then in the James, but you know, there'd be more areas open potentially if we went another route in addition to the James too. That would be equally as good as the James or close to it in terms of Area 1 in the James. Area 1 in the Rappahannock would be comparable in terms of the level of production you could get out of it to the lower James in terms of harvest numbers. So there wouldn't be that temptation because you could get in a little earlier if they were opened up concurrently, in theory, but you know, that's... Then you don't really know until you do it, I guess.
One other question. What about the idea of making Blackberry Hangs a patentong area? I don't know anything about it. I've never been there, but it's...
I mean, it's been working okay as a scrape area right now, and there's sort of a number of people who are good at scraping it. You know, I hadn't really kicked around that idea too much, but, you know, I don't think the numbers are... quite good enough for it to work with patentongs in some areas. I think you're sort of close to being able to make it work there with patentongs. You could probably get it that good enough, but I don't think your sort of densities are, you know, there might be a few spots where you could do that, but it's...
How many people work it on average year?
I'm not sure exactly. I think it's about 12 or so.
Six to 12.
That range. It's a pretty, I mean, if you've been out there, it's a pretty exposed, rough area, so if there's a better area to work, most people will go there. So it's, I mean, it's right out there in the bay proper, so it's getting hit pretty hard.
What's your take on it, Tommy? You know much about it?
You know, it's
not a very good place to work.
My idea with it was it's an area that these, you know, if it's a pretty day, you have, you know, close to a dozen, you've got six with big boats that go, but it's an area that gives somewhere to go to keep them out of Area 1 and 2 that's proposed, that it's a way to alleviate crowding with that being segregated.
What about the idea of making that a patentong area? Would that not be a good idea?
I just don't know up that part of the bay. Ernie could chime in, but most of the Patentongers are further down the bay. I'm not sure how many guys would actually take advantage of it. It's an area I hope is we can do more replenishment. I think it holds a lot of potential down the road. It's just a matter of having the money to get the to get the shell there. But it's
okay. JC's waiting.
There you go, Andrew. Pulse bar in the Mobjack, if you do open that for hand tong, what limit, bushel limits were you looking at? Standard hand tong bushel limits?
I think it's 8, for that area.
Okay.
Only area, and that would be 8 per waterman.
Okay.
And if you have more than 3 on a boat, you could keep adding on to
okay.
that the way it has with all the other hand tongs.
Okay. What is it in the day, James River now?
James is 12.
12, okay.
Per person, but if you want to put more people on a boat, you can. Per person, not a per boat.
Okay.
For all the hand
tongs. Okay. Who else has a question, Tony?
On the 900 gear licenses for hand scrape, do you have any feel for the reporting of how many are, buying licenses because they're afraid for using them versus what's actually reporting?
I think there's close to 200 to 300 or so that aren't really participating at all, and sort of the same number that's pretty heavily into the fishery, and that 200 to 300 number. Same thing with the patent tongs. I think currently there's 105 patent tong licenses sold, but maybe 12 to 20 people actually participate in that fishery currently. But there's a lot of people who have bought the license, and whether or not you have a lot of people running out and gearing up for it, I mean, I couldn't really predict that, but that's really the level of effort there with those numbers. And that sort of 900 number has sort of been consistent in the last couple of years in terms of
thing,
200 to 300, with that over 40 days upwards. Thank you. Tommy. Two Tommies, that makes it interesting. Okay, all right.
So your proposed status quo season, did you come up with an estimate based on your standing stock of what you would project the harvest would be? And what year was it that the same status quo season, when was the last time the status quo season was?
That would be 13-14 for the Rappahannock. I have to sort of think about it for a minute for the 1 and 2 rotations, but it would sort of be for the Rappahannock area. That was the last time this rotation came around. I think at that time area 8 was a hand scrape area as well, and it wouldn't be included in this year. We would sort of do it either every other year on that, so it's not an exact.
Yeah.
But the harvest numbers, based on our stock assessment, it looks like they should sort of go up a little bit, maybe in that sort of 9 to 10% range. So
from the last time,
from last time, they should be better than they were the last time this exact area these rotations were open. But compared to last year, this year should be potentially a little bit better, based mainly on that 2015 spat set. So it's also sort of hard to say in terms of the actual harvest numbers, because you're looking at the spat set the previous 2 years. I think 11 and 12 are really good spat sets, and 15 and 16 have been really good spat sets. Well, 16 sort of tentatively, and 17's promising, so it's sort of, you're basing it on that too, so it's sort of hard to have an exact comparison, but it should be similar, I guess, to what it has been.
I think the Rappahannock, I think it was about 52,000 total in Rappahannock.
Yeah, no, I think that's right now, that on your numbers there, you have a chart for the Rappahannock, I think,
Yeah.
Right around 50.
75, 80 in the James, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just the areas that we survey, so that doesn't count every bushel in the whole area if you get outside of that. That's just based on our patent tong grabs for the best areas that we survey. So there's obviously going to be more areas, but that's sort of how we base our estimate on what the harvest will be on that information. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions before I ask if there's a few questions in the audience, since there's such a great attendance? Any other questions right now before you get into the discussion of the seasonal options? So if there's someone in the audience who has a question, please come on up and ask the question. If you're content to wait until they go through the options, that's fine too. Okay. So we're to the options, it looks like. And, you know, you've got the three different options, the tong, the scrape, and the status quo. I thought that was a good question from Tommy Leggett about the status quo. One question, Tommy?
Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Andrew.
I noticed the Great Wacomica, the opening had been moved back to November as opposed to December. And with that river normally spawning so hard, you know, a lot of the rationale for a later opening is because it takes longer for those oysters to come back in quality than it does other areas. I would have some concern with Great Wacomica oysters in November from a quality standpoint.
In terms of moving that in line with Blackberry Hanks there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I think...
I think you're right. I agree with the splitting, and it needs, parts of that need to rest desperately. So I agree with that, and but I would like, in my opinion, to see it move back and give that an extra month to try to come to improve.
I think Richard, who couldn't be here today, I think I had sent him the PowerPoint presentation that you're seeing now, and he had mentioned the same thing, just so that everyone has that. His opinion was the same as Tommy's there, that he was concerned about the Rappahannock, the Great Wacomico area there being open, and preferred that to be moved to December. And he mentioned the same thing, that he thought it would need a rest. I'm reading his email here, too, that it could use a little bit of a rest there, and some of those areas are getting worked pretty hard. And another advantage of having a rotation area is it lets the replenishment program, we try very hard to do the minimum amount of shelling on areas that are going to be open the following year if they don't have a rotation. And having a rotation would let us shell that area a little heavier and get it up to that sort of hopefully over 10 liters per square meter, but not having a rotation, we're hesitant. We don't like to cover up too many oysters there, and sort of it limits us the amount of replenishment activity we can do there. So it would allow us to get this area back online quicker because we could shell a little heavier in the areas we needed.
Andrew, did you shell Great Wacomica at all this year?
Yeah.
Did not. I mean, do you plan to shell it in the future in those areas?
It's sort of one of those, it's always planned, and it's sort of, we try to keep the most productive areas in the best shape that we can, and it's always sort of a tough decision when we come down to which areas that need shell get shelled. It's sort of the same discussion we sort of had there a little bit, that there's a lot of areas that do need it, and, you know, this area is one of those areas that we'd like to shell and it's planned on shelling, but, you know, if another area that has more harvesters working on, more production coming out of it, that sort of, unfortunately, in the reality that we have to work with, sometimes takes priority. But we try to be as equitable as we can and work it into our shelling rotation whenever we can.
Roll.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Do you know the reason why the James never had rotation areas set up in it? I don't remember.
I don't know the reason why that it was specifically never set up as a rotation area. I think it was sort of some areas were opened up to the rotation area, and some areas were sort of see what happens if the rotation's working, have a comparison, and it's sort of shown that. And the James is holding up okay right now. So the main reason for having a rotation in the James is so that it doesn't get overworked by having it open up just plain longer, but the main reason in this season anyway is to have more than one area opened up at once. So the James has been holding up. I mean, you might potentially get more production out of it if you do give it a rest. It would allow us to shell those areas a little heavier than we do. So it could have a benefit. There's people have made arguments why it might not be a good idea, as you mentioned, the sort of overcrowding. But having sort of comparable areas open up at the same time would be a way of sort of alleviating that overcrowding concern. But the main argument for having rotations is it allows that rest period, allows fat and smalls to get up to market size. I mean, dragging a hand scrape on them just oftentimes, you can see in our numbers, just brings it down, I mean, and it degrades that shell underneath. And that does happen in the lower James. It's It's just a different river, as you all know, than any of the other rivers, but potentially it could do some good, and I think limiting the chance that it would hurt it would be having another comparable area open at the same time. So there's a good chance it would be a good thing for the river, and particularly spreading out and not having those same people in a different area all bunched up.
So that hand scrape area in the James, that has been opened every year, the whole thing, every year since basically we started this?
No,
with a few changes.
The bridge used to be the line.
The bridge was
it used to open above the bridge first, and then December, I believe, it opened below, the entire river opened.
Okay.
For the first, I forget how many years, but 4 or 5 years that it was in place.
The Hanton line used to come down a lot further, and just the lower, below the bridge was the scrape area there.
What are your thoughts on that, Ben? I mean, you're a James River person.
I don't think it's a bad idea, myself. I don't think it'd be bad to give some of the river a rest, and I don't think it's a bad, if we're going to spread people around, I think that's probably the best way to do it, my opinion.
Well, congestion is one aspect of what's happened over the last few years, not just in the James, but in other areas as well. So I know that Commissioner Bull has discussed it quite a few times on part of what needs to be done, because things have been fairly good, is to try and alleviate that problem. And then the worst thing we all know about is the safety part of it, which, you know, that's sort of looming probably in some areas more than others. So I think that's a good comment you have. Well, we'll keep it going. I'll remind everyone, since you already know pretty much from all the years of service on the committee, that what happens tonight, we hope will end up in a recommendation that most of you are in agreement with as a committee. At the same time, fishery staff will have a recommendation as well. This month, we're simply going to the commission and asking for the public hearing. That's the step right here. And, of course, with Wayne France as your new chairman, he's not here tonight, but I'm sure he'll catch up pretty quickly as to what the committee had to say and what the committee did, and that's good. But any of you are always invited, to be sure, to a commission meeting. Some of you have come in the past, obviously, to express your views, and, you know, nothing about that changes. So, we're all happy that we have something that we can look forward to over the last several seasons rather than what we remember of when we didn't have anything to look forward to. So, I think that's goes without saying. So, any other comments? Tommy?
The public hearing would be August for this?
Yes. Fourth Tuesday is when. I'm not sure when that might be, but I'm sure someone out there has a calendar.
22nd, I think, August 22nd.
22nd? Okay. All right.
Hopefully, if there's sort of agreement there, that would allow us to have a whole month. I think we've done that the last year, maybe the last year before that. Gets you the whole month of September if there is any shift. You know, people have that whole month to sort of prepare and get ready for it.
Do you know how widely this information has been disseminated amongst the users?
I've had a number of phone calls from a number of different user groups from all over the place over the last couple weeks. There's been some concern on the Eastern Shore about, you know, as I mentioned, sort of the stump rig and smaller boats. There's been some concern about smaller boats in general, but I think in general I've tried to do a pretty good job of anyone who's answered any questions. So I think it's fairly widely distributed there, this information. Stuff like this, it travels pretty quick in terms of the oyster harvest season. You still remember questions from all the harvest areas about it.
Is this on the website? Could this be put up?
We could put this in the minutes of this meeting. We could put that up there.
The handout, just to get the information out to more watermen so that they know what's coming for the computer-savvy people.
Yeah, we would just have to make sure we label everything pretty correctly, so you know that it would be a recommendation coming from the committee. Staff will also have a recommendation at the public hearing, so the timing's a little bit different. And the website's great until you realize sometimes it can get you in a bit of a mess. We found that out. Quite frankly, we used to post draft regulations, which with a draft regulation, you have the ability to modify it as long as you don't modify the intent. And then we were criticized for putting up the draft regulations because there were some changes. So, but we can handle this, yes. We can do that on the website.
Okay. I know I heard a lot of people complaining about the patent on them, but they don't realize that in February, where they couldn't drudge last year, they'll be able to drudge this year. Mm-hmm. So they're not really losing anything. They're going to have the same amount of time as they had before.
Well, I'll see if Dan has any comments, by the way.
Dan, are you on there still?
Yeah, I'm on air. I have the unmute. What is the fitness family? She's unmute. Hold on.
We can hear you.
Yeah, it's just this computer on my end does it. All right, she's done. Yeah, I mean, I really don't. I don't know. I mean, I really don't have a whole. I thought I called mine to see if they could be on air. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I'm kind of torn in the middle. I mean, it don't really affect me, but it does affect some of our fleet. And I understand. You know, I get where both sides is coming from. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been this indecisive in my life.
Is there anything specific of concerns from over on that side that you want to bring up for the folks here to hear, Dan? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's several that comes down in October, and that's a big part of their livelihood. That's a big part of one or two. I know of one that don't have pots. You know, it goes from shed to oystering, and that's a big part of what he does. If he has temporary. You know, that's going to be that much more money he's going to have to spend to get into buying towing him. And most of us have to stem pretty good. I think
hopefully we'll get back on there. I think we're still on there. It might be a Tangier connection there.
Okay. All right. Tommy?
One last question I had, Andrew, on Pulse Bar. What would staff's position be on moving that back further in the year when there are less options for working? February?
No, I would be, I think that would be okay, but basically keep it at that 1 month of scrape if there was a scrape there, but moving that back would be all right. I'd like to have, you know, a hand tong season on that in the beginning just because that fat that's been so high. And I mean, there had been concerns that were brought up in terms of, you know, it being still a public fishery. And the general public, if you're not a commercial waterman, can still, in theory, hand tong. So this would sort of, in the spirit of things, allow that participation for everyone by having, you know, more hand tong areas.
Well, that was kind of my thinking. It would give through Christmas anyone that did want to hand tong it, you know, no competition with scraping, but then it would also give an option for another area with a limited amount open later in the season.
Yeah. So that sort of that hand scrape there going to January or February potentially, February maybe.
I just got back on. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Okay. I think you just left off with stump rig.
well, I mean, just, you know, I mean, there's quite a few people here that got the stump rig. That's that much more money that they're going to have to spend. And, you know, I mean, I can see trying to split the places up. You know, that we heard that these meetings for the last 2 or 3 years, that how many boats gets on our Ibionic, October. I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can see both sides of the argument. I know Tommy and Blakey and all of these. I'm sure they need to want the oysters in October. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't think I've ever been this indecisive before. I've never been this seesawish in my life.
I appreciate the input there, and it's one of those that's a decision that you. That I'm trying to do my best to try not to take a strong position either way, and sort of be as neutral as you can in terms of the goal is the same either way you go. It's just sort of trying to think of the fishery as a whole and try my best to ignore any sort of one individual that might have a concern and sort of look at it as big as I can. I feel like that sort of our goal as fishery management is to try to weigh everything together collectively, and I think both of these options would sort of accomplish what we'd like sort of collectively, which is that overcrowding, overworking issue there.
So. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Tommy.
On the scrape proposal, was that we had talked earlier about the possibility of 16 bushel limit or a 4-day work week. Did either one of those apply as you have this presented?
I would say that an either or for this one, particularly to, I mean, generally after a month or month and a half in the best areas, most of these areas are getting worked down. And since there'd be two really good areas coming online in October, I wouldn't want to risk having limited availability in November and December when the oysters are, you know, more in demand by having two areas open up right with that 4-5 day work week and the 24 bushel limit. So if we went the scrape season route, I would sort of either that 16 bushel per man or the limited 4-day work week like we've been doing there. And there's sort of been talk from harvesters, industry, multiple people there that, you know, that sometimes that 24 bushel limit, that's a grind towards the end of the season to get that going there and sort of spreading it out to 16 continuously. A lot of the boats are just have 16 or two people working them anyway, but there's some people who have three people and they're getting 24 good solid bushels, so it's sort of another one of those tricky situations. But at least the first half of the month, keeping it at 16 or that 4-day work week would be what I would recommend for this scrape option.
Okay, there's a lot of variety here, obviously, to look at. Is there any one particular option that most of you are saying that should be the option, and then you can sort of build the areas as you go? Ben?
I would like to, again, my opinion, but we have spent the last 3 years figuring out how to get people out of this to reduce effort. And I'm afraid that if we go the patentong route, it's going to be viewed as trying to get people out of it, because there are those that can't rig up. There are those that won't rig up. And if that season is set in August, they've got 1 month to find a pair of patentongs and find a rig to put in the boat if they're going to work. And my opinion, we've been down that road too far, and this scrape season is a very good compromise. It keeps people working. It doesn't put anybody that's in the fishery now out of the ability to work. And in this business right now, October is when people start looking to make money, because crabbing is poor, the price is poor, the market's poor. There's nothing this time of year through the summer that's not pretty much hand to mouth. And to take that month away from people that are starting to have an opportunity to put some money away and in their pocket, I don't think is the angle we need to go with this.
Good comment. Mm-hmm. How's that sitting, Casey?
Andrew, I noticed proposal number one didn't include Paul Spar in any way, shape, or form. Only two and three. Right, status quo.
Right.
Was that intentional? I mean,
that was just we kept sort of the normal rotation. It wouldn't be in this rotation this year.
Okay.
And this the status quo there is I I think a staff perspective would be that we'd like to make one of those other changes to alleviate sort of the multiple user concerns of just having one scrape area in October. So this is sort of just I'd be more in favor of one of the other options or sort of the right combination of those options, I guess, but not sort of.
The only problem I got with the scrape season that he's talking about is when you get to February, it's no scrape season. Crabbing don't start till the 17th of March.
You still got James River in February.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's there. February, it's there in area one. Yep,
it's area one. Status quo, yeah.
I don't see it on here. Not on the quote.
No,
status quo.
November,
scrape. Scrape. The third page.
Oh, third.
Yeah, but you're not doing well going to James River in February. And then you've got till 17th of March before they're going to let you crab this year. So you need to think about something ahead, too.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a month and a half out of work. I'd rather lose a month in October than I would a month and a half in February and March.
Mm-hmm. The hand scrapers have had no option in February to begin with.
Yes, we had. Before last, we worked February.
Mm-hmm.
I worked right up the river. Where you seven? January and February. Mm-hmm. Last year's the first year we didn't have anything in February. It's a whole lot harder in February to make it than it is October, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you're saying, sort of which end you make it up on. And
then crabbing this year, they're going to cut that back until the 15th or 17th of March. So then you got another month you got to go.
Well, I mean, that's true that it's already done by emergency to set it at March 17th, but you also have to realize that there's only been 1 year in the last 11 where it hasn't started March 17th. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you still got to look at that. Instead of losing a month, you're going to lose every 2 months this coming year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before, we could all stay in February.
Well, which of the options are coming closest for everyone as far as you're looking at? So, I mean, I've heard a couple of comments that seem to support the scrape proposal, but I'm not sure about everyone else. JC?
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the status quo, and I agree with Ben. I think it's worked well in the past. You know, with the patent tongue season, they're having 3 months. The problem I have with the patent tongue one is the month of October, none of the small boats, none of our members that have small boats would be able to work that month, you know. And, you know.
I got a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I can't split area one right down the middle. Give the patent tongs the north side and get the druthers the south side.
Mm-hmm. You could do something like that, yeah.
Isn't that going to make the crowding issue that we're trying to alleviate worse?
How's it going to make the crowding issue?
You just have a line there. Yeah.
Well, I think you still have the whole scrape fleet there
in half the area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they busted that. They ain't got nowhere to work.
Mm-hmm.
They can go patent tong if they want.
See, on the tong season, you got patent tong area one, month of October, then November, December, the hand scrapers come in. The 2 months after that, yeah. You know, just, what are the small boats going to do in October? I mean, that's my concern.
Well, there's
the scrape season is scheduled to start in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that, right. That's what I'm saying, but as opposed to the tong season, yeah.
Well, the sort of October season, I know a lot of the stump rig and the small boat fleet that comes over from the eastern shore.
Yeah.
And sort of a concession to that, but not a full concession. There's
only problem that I got with it all is in October, if you open that, you're going to have every boat in the state down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to alleviate.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the scrape comes in. It opens half of James River as well.
But not till November, right?
Y'all have never worked in that mess.
Area 2, the lower half of the river.
Oh, yeah, and the tongs even.
It's one rock and the whole bay will be open right there. I just need to see if it closes if we're going to do that. Close it up there, October.
Let's have a few public comments right now.
Not everybody's understanding that scrape season.
No.
Half of James River is open and Rappahannock will be open.
There'll be more.
Yep. But not in October.
Yes, in October. Area 2 of James River and Area 1 of
Oh, I'll go along if they're going to do that.
That is a great thing, but then that alleviates, you're talking about
the proposal one, you'll still have James River open in February, which is more than the status quo.
I'll go along if they're going to open two areas, but if they're going to open just one area, I don't agree with it.
No, it's open in two areas.
Area 2 of the James and Area 1.
I'm going to get my share either way to go.
So maybe this isn't an impasse at all, but still, you know, it might help while they're debating it if you have some comments. If there's a couple of public comments,
go ahead and
feel free to make
that's
them.
That's a lot to try to figure out.
You know, an extra couple of minutes isn't going to hurt anything. Come on up, sir.
I just didn't want October to open around Hanukkah, and that's it.
Yeah, I know.
I ain't for that.
No, I agree with you.
My name is William Nelson, third generation fisherman. I started with the dredging back in 2007. You could get 3 bushels. It was a struggle to get 3 bushels. People laughing at you about getting 3 bushels. I'll never do that. Next year, we got 4 bushels. Next year, we got 6 bushels. Then we petitioned Mr. Pruitt to open up the lower part of the river. He gave me a permit to go out there and check the bottom. Went out there with the hand scraper, found some oysters. A year later, they opened the lower part. They get 8 bushels. That's when everybody jumped into the fishery. Every year, that hand scrape has been making more and more bottom out there. There was little specks of bottom when it started. The hand scrape goes around, spreads the shell, throw the small oysters back, everything gets bigger. I don't agree with the patent tong coming back in the river. Patent tong was prohibited from the river for a reason. Now,
the whole river died. Why it was
the whole river died, and the patent tong helped it.
How do you figure that?
Because I was up that river shaft tonging when they was patent tonging up there, and I seen it firsthand. And the river still hasn't recovered, the upper river, from the patent tong. Now, the patent tong is like post hole diggers. You drop that down, and you dig a grave for the oysters, and you throw them right back in there. The Rappahannock River is very fragile. The bottom is very fragile. You've got mud lumps. You've got edges that the patent tong will destroy. That hand scrape will go over a lump, nick the top of it, take a few shells off, going in a nice circle. You're spreading everything out. Everything's growing. Everything's living. That patent tong will kill the river. That's my opinion. I'm sorry. If you don't like it.
Where does the shells go that you go over the hill to?
When you digging with that patent tong.
No, I say, where they go when you drag that dredge over it?
That dredge is going to scoot over that lump.
Yeah, and puts them on the mud.
They're going to put them on that board, and I'm going to throw them back out. When
yeah, I see them in your catch.
That's all I'm saying.
I was patent tonging in the 70s.
I understand. In the 70s, there were...
And all the oysters died. They died in James River. We never patent tonged James River.
I understand all that.
So don't blame it on the patent tong.
The oysters did die. And, you know, back in the 70s, you want to talk about the 70s? They had money, and they put shells back out there every year. In the 70s, there's no bottom for patent tongs no more in the river. I mean, we've come all these years. We got a decade of dredging out there. It went from nothing to something. People like you, they want to patent tong in the river, you're going to go back to nothing again.
I'm going
to
just tell you like it is.
You're not telling me like it is. You're telling me like it was.
I'll tell you what.
I know how it is.
Mr. Nelson, you have good comments. Let's go on. Let's move on. You guys can talk.
Okay.
You guys can talk later.
I mean,
you guys can talk later. Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm just saying.
You did well.
If they were putting hundreds of thousands of bushels of shell back like they used to, the patent tong would be good in the river.
You did well.
It ain't no good for the river.
I agree with what you're saying. We put a lot of shell in the past. You know, $1 million were spent in the past years that we don't have now with the amount of shells. But does anyone have a comment on the 3 proposals as to how they would sit? While everyone up here has been thinking about either the scrape, it sounds like, or maybe status quo, maybe not, is the latest. The Tong got some bad comments in terms of what that would do in terms of really removing the ability for some to gear up in time and take them away from the fishery. So if anyone has a comment specific to these 3 different proposals, that's great. Otherwise, I'm going to come right back to the committee and let them hash it out. So that's okay. Come on up. Come on up.
Hand Could you say it into the mic?
With the proposed scrape option, were y'all saying y'all would turn it down to a 16 bushel limit to where, like, if your third man was on the boat, is that what y'all were saying earlier? You would be 16 flat. So if you had a third man on the boat that carried a card, he wouldn't be allowed to carry the extra 8 bushels to make 24.
At least for the fall season.
At least for the fall season. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was just clarifying. I didn't understand exactly what was being said there.
What was your name, sir?
Larry Flabot. Larry Flabot.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Right.
Either or.
Yeah.
Right. Either or. So that's good. Okay. I don't mind. Is there someone else? If there's not someone else, okay. I wanted to be 6'4 so I could see everything, but it didn't happen. So we're going to go back to the committee. And
can I make one comment, Rob?
Sure. Come on up. Sure.
My name's Jeff Kellerman.
I know, Jeff.
We're not arguing about the oysters growing, living, or any of that. Right now, it seems like to me you're just trying to get the season set so that we don't put everybody in one box.
That's a big concern.
That seems like that's what we're fighting at. Yep. We're not fighting the same issue we were, getting less people in the...
Right.
Because right now we've capped that. Nobody else is going
to
get in.
That's right. Took us down to 600.
Like the whole thing everybody needs to look at is we're just trying to get less watermen in one spot.
Sure.
That's the whole deal.
That's a big concern.
And I think that's kind of looking at the scrape season.
Right. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, Jeff. All right, I'm scooting down the table. Tommy?
If we're open for motions, I would like to make a motion that we consider moving Pulse's Bar to February on the scrape option, and moving Great Wacomica to December and January on the scrape option.
Okay.
Anyone, did you hear that, Andrew?
Yep, so Pulse, Hantong, keep Hantong.
Yes, sir.
All the way through February.
And scrape in February.
And Great Wacomica, Blackberry Hangs, have them both December, January.
Yes, sir.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been seconded, so... Any discussion on the motion?
Just one,
you want to read out the motion to them, Andrew?
Yes, just to clarify, hand scraping on Pulse's Bar would go from when to when?
It would go to February. It would be open for hand tonging from October until February 1st,
okay.
And then scraping for the month of February.
Okay.
And then the Great Wacomica would change from opening in November and December to December and January.
Unfortunately, I don't think there'd be anything left in February. False bar.
Okay, well, I understand those changes on the scrape season.
Would be a good thing. He's doctoring it up.
Okay, great. Good.
Absolutely.
Magic of computers. Yeah.
So is that just to amend the scrape season option?
It is. As we consider, I'm not making a motion to adopt the scrape season now, but I would like to see that amendment to what's being considered.
Okay.
All right, and Andrew's placed that up there now.
I didn't adjust that just now, but so basically the motion on the table, as I understand it, would be Great Wicomico for this area would be moved
January, February.
December, January.
Right.
Bob Jack, Pulse's Bar, the hand scraper would be moved to February, and Hantong would be allowed up until then.
Okay.
I would go to staff on what you think is reasonable there, but
okay.
Okay, got it. All right, so we do have a motion. I guess it's pretty clear now. It's been seconded, but so we're set on that, and let's go ahead and vote on that motion. I don't see any more discussion. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Dan. So it's unanimous.
That would include dividing that Great Wacomico area. Okay.
So we're off to a promising start here so far. Who else has any suggestions?
I got a question.
I have a question. I'm not sure. I've got a little confused.
confusion on just scraping, on the scrape, you know, the scraping item. Is the James River open in October along with right behind it?
Yes.
Which
tell them which areas are open, Andrew.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
In October, James River Area 2 and Rappahannock Area 1 would both be open to hand scrape, and then the normal hand tong season would be open there in October as well.
Okay.
And it would be a 16 bushel limit?
Yes. This would be a
10. Go ahead. Finish
that would be
up.
Either a 16 bushel limit or the 4-day work week, or that would be sort of an either or option there for that.
Okay, thanks. Okay, Ben.
My next comment was, which now again, not that we're looking to adopt this, but just in a hypothetical situation, I guess. Which angle do we go with that? Do we go for the 4 days and leave it as it is with the limit, or do we go?
Well, I guess before we think about that, the changes that Tommy Kellum has proposed and has been voted on, how does that change anything in your best estimate?
In terms of those changes there, but just moving that around, think the bushel limit would sort of fall in line and be sort of separate. It would be sort of the same situation
that we had before the change.
Right.
Okay. All right. So
before, and I'm hesitant to sort of change that bushel limit right in the middle. So a sort of 4-day work week, keep it at 24 throughout the season, or keep it at 16, sort of across, because by then you'd be dropping that person generally anyway, sort of there in January. So, I think.
In other words, if you catch 24, you ain't gonna work for 4 days.
Right. Right.
If you got 16, you would work 5.
Right. 5 days, 16 bushels, the whole season. But
and I think
I'm okay with the 4 day. I'd rather have the 16 bushel. But the problem that I'm going to have with the 4 day thing is, it's like the way we've done it the last few years, in the fall we do the 4 day and it goes to the following of January. And right. Usually by that time of year it takes 5 days to get through. And sometimes that's on morality. I don't know how I feel about that. I think that is looking at more than it's not as black and white as that. I'm fine with the 16 bushel. I don't think that would, I know that would affect some, but I think in the long run, it's not going to be that many more boats. People will sit here and tell you that all these boats are going to get rugged. It might be a few more. It's not going to be a ton more. But as far as going 4 days straight across throughout the season, I think I have a problem with that come by January.
Okay, thank you, Dan. JC?
And I think one thing that I'm worried about, you take the boats that have three licenses on that are catching 24 bushels. Well, if we drop them back to 16 bushels, I think that third man is going to go on another boat with somebody. If it's a guy that's got one license or has got two licenses, I think you're going to see that third man go to another boat, which is going to increase the fleet size there. Because the boats that have three licenses, I mean, that's why they have three licenses, because at the time, like it is now with the traffic situation, a lot of boats have two licenses, but they have three people on board because you got to have one man just start a boat. And I think if you go back to 16 with the three, I think it is going to increase the fleet size somewhat.
I don't think it'll be much.
It's a lot of boats with 24 bushels.
I don't think you're going to see that increase in some of those cases.
Oh, you don't think so?
I mean, if we're all being honest, the third man, the people that most of us that'll take for third man ain't got something around boat by no means. They're being used to get the extra eight. They're being used to get the extra eight to make a quick buck, which is fine. And I mean, I understand that. I understand the capitalism side of it. But this argument that the fleet's going to grow tremendously, it's not going to grow that much.
All you have to do is go after January 1st and look him in the head three yawning boats. That's all you have to do. January and February.
No, you won't see it then.
I think I'd rather be able to catch 16 bushels and work 5 days a week and not worry about it if I was having to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Tommy?
I would like, from the watermen in the audience, if possible, I would like to see a show of hands for them, from them on which option that they would be in favor of, as opposed to everybody feeling like they got to come up and speak. But I am interested in what...
I think that's a good idea. They may be more willing to let us know that way than coming up. That's a good idea. So did everyone get a handle on the three options on status? Yes, status quo, and the tong, and the scrape, and the comments that have come forward. What I recall hearing were more positive comments on the scrape issue, not great comment on the tong issue in terms of what that might do to rig up everything in time. So is there a preference for that particular option, the status quo? Is there a preference? You can show your hand. Status quo. Tommy Leggett went over that. Ask some questions concerning what's that like in terms of the last time it was, and Andrew was talking about 2013-14. So that's status quo. Is there a show of hands for the status quo motion? One. Anyone else? Okay, one. And the tong issue, so I think I've described that. With bringing the patent tong in areas that are questionable, is there any support for the tong option? And I don't see anything, so we're down to the scrape. I think it's probably been talked about most because of the recent vote on the changes to Pulse Bar what was brought forward that way on the Great White Comico. So how about if we ask everyone about that particular option, the scrape option? Who's in favor of that?
I have a question, though. Is this with reducing the limit, or is this with reducing the days?
I think we have to get to that point at some stage. It's been talked about so far, but not, I haven't heard the committee bring it to a close on which is preferable, okay? So right now we're just asking about the scrape option, and do I see four or five? So five hands up, okay. So that's helpful. Sure, Jeff. Where's your hand up, by the way? I'm sorry if I didn't look to my left.
I'm not voting.
Okay, all right.
The status quo, were you still looking at the four-day work week with status quo because that's the way it was last time?
Yes.
Now, if we can see the same show of hands of...
Do a straw vote up here? Okay.
For the 16... bushel right. Versus a four-day work week, and just so we cover it all at one, the waterman on the committee, Ernie, JC, I'd like to know y'all's feelings on that too.
I'd rather work 5 days and catch 16 than I would work 4 days and catch 24.
Mm-hmm. So what Andrew proposed was the 4 days throughout the season or the 16 bushels throughout the season, and so I'll go ahead and ask everyone, do you prefer the 16 bushels throughout? And that includes everyone up here. So 16 bushels throughout. Roll straw vote. You have to raise your hand so I can count you. One, two, I've got to stand up. Three, okay. Four, five, six. Six, seven. Seven at the last second, okay. How about...
All right,
Dan. You're not invisible, except sometimes. Thank you. So eight in favor of that. How about the four-day work week throughout? We'll do the same thing. One, two, three, and that's all I see. I don't see anyone up here. Okay, three. All right, so... A brief little summary there. There was one support from the public for the status quo, more support, two, for the scrape, but there were eight, including the committee, who favored the 16 bushels throughout, including the public, and three for all of us that favored the 4 days. So
thank you.
That's helpful. That's good. All right.
One question, Rob.
Yes, Tommy.
All three of these options and the way we've modified them, would you consider them conservational equivalents?
That's the question I had for Andrew a little while ago, and I sense that moving things a little bit in the Great White Comico and Pulse Bar was equivalent to the way that scrape option was. But I'm not sure how that fits in. If you're asking if that there were changes made to other options, we'd have to go through those probably.
Well, as it stands now with the amendment that we did to the scrape season. And
with the amendment to the scrape season and compared to the tong season, if you sort of look at it closely, the areas being worked and the bushel limits and, in theory, the oysters coming off them should all be comparable in both options. So they should be pretty close to equivalent in terms of the damage or harvest done and the impact that it has to the shell underneath and the oyster resource there. The one exception is with the tong area, you know, it would be potentially area one would get more oysters harvested off it that year. There is potential in the tong season that actually more oysters would end up coming off of that particular area. But sort of the tong debate is that the shell resource that's there, the shell underneath those oysters, would stay put with the tongs, whereas the scrapes tend to spread that shell off that area, and sort of depending on the weight of the tong or the weight of the scrape, you know, it's sort of close. And the other thing I'd like to stress is that these patent tongs aren't the 250-pound clam tongs. They're the 100-pound oyster tongs, so it's not that...
Is that what everybody's using? Pantong?
Everyone should be using 100-pound pantongs. If they're using 250-pound clam tongs,
isn't that
a code violation?
Is that checked by law enforcement?
It I believe it should be. Yep.
maybe it should be, but is it? Have we got a law enforcement.
I don't think too many is using them because they're too hard to fight them. Them clam tongs.
Yeah.
So we'll have a little lull here, and
that's unusual.
So my understanding is sort of right now on this one, if we make those amended changes, Tommy, and keep it at a 16 bushel throughout the year limit, that seems to have pretty good support from you folks and up there. Is that okay?
A couple of stats, and support.
Yeah, no, I would be, I think that has sort of, it would solve what we're trying to solve, which is overcrowding there, and that sort of grind that happens with the 24 bushels or sort of the end of the season trying to squeak it out. And the concerns of all folks involved there with so many folks on one area and the impact that has to the resource. So having a 16 bushel limit and splitting up, in theory anyway, the fleet like that would be supported by staff sort of as amended there in this way.
And it's 5 days, right, Andrew?
5 days, 16 bushel limit, yeah.
So a detail is, there were some nodding heads, I know, but it'd be good if the committee reinforced that information for the commission in the form of advice.
So moved.
With a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's a few seconds. That's good. So do you have the motion?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And any discussion on the motion? Okay. I think it's a pretty good discussion.
I didn't hear you real good, Rob. What just clarify. I think I heard it, but just before a vote, just make it, what was the motion?
It's for the proposed scrape season, as amended with the Great Wicomico area moved to December and January.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought that's what I heard.
And 5 days. Work week, 16 bushel throughout the season.
All right.
Okay, I'll take the vote. You get to say aye, Dan, again. So all those in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay. Looks like a unanimous vote. So that's good. And, you know, staff generally is very supportive. I know sometimes with advisory committees there are differences, but, you know, here's a situation where the objective is pretty clear, and appreciate all your discussion tonight and your help on the getting the public to interact a little bit was good too. So you have some more information for the committee, though. Yes, Jackie?
For the record, I abstain since these are both have the same conservation projected outcome and the
okay.
same bushel outcome. I abstain.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't ask for abstention, so I apologize.
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a couple of handouts that we printed up. If this was about the SAV update, I think Tommy was there last Wednesday, and it was a subcommittee that we developed last fall to address the concerns of the private ground leases and their conflicts, user conflicts with SAV, basically eelgrass, widgeongrass. And a brief overview, if you'd like a copy, there's a sort of a guidance document that I believe had unanimous support from the subcommittee there that they were going to present to the commission at an upcoming meeting on sort of as guidance for the current regulations.
I'll get Vernon to hand those out. Come on up, Vernon.
They're circulating down.
Oh, they got them? Vernon, you can sit down. They already circulated. I got you some exercise, all right? All right.
And more or less, currently as the regulations read for SAV, if it's on your oyster ground lease, you're not allowed to put your gear on top of it. If it comes up around it, you can put your gear back in the same footprint. And the gist of this guidance would be to allow for sort of a way forward if SAV did come up and it was sparse enough that you could apply for a permit to sort of use those areas in your lease that had SAV, as long as sort of with consultation with staff and VIMS, they were okay with you know, your oyster cages being put on patches in between the SAV, as opposed to saying you can't use this whole portion of your lease because there's grass there. So this doesn't change any regulation. It just sort of clarifies the existing regulation and provides sort of guidance for staff to make recommendations without having to get sort of eases the burden on VIMS in terms of having a grass consultation for every single one of these leases. So, it's sort of just a regulatory clarity document there that allows a path forward if SAV did come up on your lease and you wanted to still use that portion that had sparse grass.
Any questions about the document? Or Tommy, do you have any more information? No? Okay.
Reluctant, unanimous
right.
approval on my part.
Okay, that's okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
I guess, if you guys wanted to make a motion on that, you could, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. Appreciate you bringing it forward. That's good. What other business might anyone have to bring to the committee? Is there any other business going once? Ben does. Okay.
The motion that was made, we spoke on the phone
a
month or so. Anyway, that motion that was made back in May, I guess it was, is that coming to the committee? It was vague on the agenda about the...
It was the timing of when it came to the committee, but Andrew's aware of that.
And Russ spoke
first.
To him. Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that in that vague thing on the commission agenda for this month about... Is that fit in that, or is it coming up at some other point?
I was going to mention that was a unanimous motion at the public hearing to change that date. Get rid of the June 1st date, I believe, was the motion that
right.
we passed. I don't think on a staff perspective we'd support that, but I think we've sort of gone back and forth as to why that would be the case at the last meeting. I would definitely bring that up and let them know that it was unanimous from SMAC and say that the staff perspective would be to maintain that date and not make a change.
So it will be commented on this month or next month?
At the public hearing for the oyster. Not this month is just the announcement of
okay.
request, but it would be
in
August
okay.
22nd.
Okay.
Yes, Jesse?
Andrew, everything stays the same as far as plastic bushel basket measurement-wise and everything?
Right. None of the bushel is the either-or, the plastic bushel basket, level full across the top.
Okay.
And no change to that.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy? Will we have another shellfish meeting prior to the legislature, or will this probably be it until...
I don't anticipate that unless there's sort of a pressing need or something is coming up that SMAC has been asked to address or would like to address. But if there's any legislation issues that you know of that are coming up, that I mean, we have some time here to address it if you wanted to. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Jackie?
I just wanted to say I work with Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and our organization is working with other restoration partners to strongly encourage the governor to increase replenishment funds. We recognize that as being one of the only ways that we can really increase oyster harvest. And so due to that, I think we're going to need buy-in from the industry and maybe reaching out to some of you individually to craft our message. But just wanted to let you know that's one of our strongest objectives in General Assembly this season.
Hallelujah. Appreciate it.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Jackie. Anyone else? Okay, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. All right, we're adjourned.
Can't believe we finished
early. Thank you for all your discussion. And
can't believe we don't get it.
Rob, perhaps you should chair each meeting.
Thank you.
You got a job, Rob.
You're done right good.
No chance to get aggravated.